The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Mary O'Rourke was a much-loved politician and prominent public figure. Mary went from a teacher to minister and then becoming an author. She even presented Liveline and much more, leaving a mark on Irish life while becoming an inspirational figure for women in politics especially. An episode of Clochlacarn on RT will air over the Christmas, and it takes a look back at the legacy of the former politician and minister. And really, to talk about her legacy before the documentary airs, we're joined in studio by Mary's son Fergal, who will tell us lots more. Fergal, good morning and welcome.
Hi, Pat.
It's kind of a great tribute of the mammy, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and it'll be interesting to watch it. Myself and Angus and our respective families will get together on the 28th and sit down and have a good look.
No, I called her the mammy because she earned the title towards the end of her life of the nation's mammy.
Well, it's funny, you went there, she had three careers, really. I mean, when she left college, first she ran a haulage company with her brother, Paddy Lenehan. But a teaching
now,
was her...
I never knew that. That's new.
Well, her teaching, though, was her first real career. And I remember I was extremely young. She went back into the H-dip and then started teaching. And that lasted about 15 years. And then she went into politics, and that lasted about 30 years. And then unusually, she had a life post-politics. I mean, she was 74 when she finished up in the Dáil, and then she had one more career with her books and her commentating, and she did Electric Picnic as well. And you know, so it was great that she had that third act to finish off her life.
Now, the family really is a political dynasty, isn't that so?
I suppose, yeah. My grandfather and my...
Yeah, bring us back to
that.
Well,
it's unusual, and the quiz question comes up every so often. It's funny, my uncle Brian Lenehan was the first to go into the Dáil. He was then followed by his father. It's the only time a child has got into the Dáil before their parent. My grandfather was a local businessman, and he was asked to run in 1965. Brian already having been in there as a young buck. Yeah. And then obviously my cousins, Conor Lennon and Brian Lennon, and obviously mum.
My brother
as well, sorry, who's been Lord Mayor of Athlone and local councillor.
Now, you couldn't possibly escape politics in your house, but was it at the dinner table all the time?
It was at the dinner table, but it was always really interesting. My earliest political memory probably was Brian Lenehan losing his seat in 1973 in Roscommon. And I would have been 8 or 9 at the time. And this was a big deal. And then
He went to the Senate after that.
And then I remember I would have been 9 at the time, the local elections in 1974, standing outside a polling booth, age 9, handing out leaflets most of the day, but thinking this is the most exciting thing ever, you know. That was mum's first foray into local politics.
Yeah. Now, the decision that she made to go into local politics, it was council first.
Yes.
And we played a little clip earlier of her saying she was told, you know, her whole mantra was, if you're on a board or if you're representing the school board or whatever, you speak up, you say your piece.
Yeah.
And then she got the advice from someone in the council, don't say anything for 6 months.
Yes.
I doubt she obeyed that.
No, she wouldn't have had. No. And she was the first woman on Westmeath County Council and Athlone Urban District Council as well. So, you know, although I didn't recognise it at the time, she was a trailblazer. But it's only in retrospect, there's a photo at home of the 1987 cabinet. And it was only after she died, I looked at it, and it was 15 men and one woman.
Yeah.
Now, at the time, that was just the way cabinets looked. Looking back now, it looks outrageous that there was only one woman, you know?
Yeah, but I suppose because of the political dynasty from which she came, it was easier for the male political establishment to accept her, you know?
Probably a bit, although you still had to make your way and you still had to have sharp elbows to... I think it was harder for women in those days because there were so few of them around. They had to really make sure they contribute, they were nearly better than their male counterparts.
Yeah. And did she wear that lightly? When she came home, was she giving out yards about being the only woman?
No, not at all. In fact, you know,
like, she was gender blind in a sense.
She was gender blind. Yeah. She would never use that. And but it was great round the table. And even then, growing up, mum and I came to Dublin at the same time. She came to the Dáil and I came to UCD. And so it was great during the week. I'd go in and get fed and get a bit of money and have the chats. And then we spent about 6 years then. We got an apartment that we shared for about 6 years. And that was wonderful.
That's kind of unique as well.
Well, it worked for both of us in the sense that she would come up on a Monday and she'd bring up whatever stuff I needed. And then, you know, during during the week, if there was some dinners on and she needed a plus one, Dad wouldn't come up from Athlone, and Dad was shy anyway at the best of times, but I'd accompany her as plus one, and you know, then she'd go home on a Friday and I'd have the place to myself for the weekend.
So you could live your college life to the full.
You might say that. I couldn't possibly comment.
Now, you yourself decided that business was the way you wanted to go. Was there any interest, first of all, or any pressure on you, or indeed on Angus, to follow down the political route?
George W. Bush has a great line about his excesses when he was young. He says, "When I was young and foolish, I was young and foolish." He was referring to drink. I was very involved in my early 20s on the Fianna Fáil National Executive, anything. And then I had an opportunity to run the general election, but I got a very, very wise piece of advice from a gentleman who's still alive, Tom Grace, who was a partner in PwC at the time, former Irish international, rugby international. And he said to me, "No, you've got a future in PwC." And I decided I'd focus on that, and I ended up running the organisation.
But I'm sure along the way there were probably overtures made to you.
I mean, and you know, a lot of my peers would have been going into politics, and my cousins Connor Lenehan and Brian Lenehan would have been going in, but I was fortunate. I got a good career going, and it worked out for me, so I've no regrets. I will say, and you know, I think Mum was equally proud of both of us, but I think her proudest moment was when Angus became Lord Mayor of Athlone, because she had been Lord Mayor and her father had been Lord Mayor. And the idea of a kind of a third generation, it gave her immense pride.
No chance of a fourth then.
Angus has four children down in Athlone. I'm sure one of them might pick up the mantle.
Now, the political offices that your mother held, you know, you're given what you're given by the Taoiseach of the day. What was her favourite, do you think?
No doubt education. She had been a teacher. And it's funny, at her funeral, for every person who came up to me and said, "Oh, your mother helped me out here," or "your mother in politics," there was another person who came out and said, "Your mother taught me history, she taught me English, she was a brilliant teacher, and she loved teaching." And in fact, even when she was elected to the Senate in the early 80s, Summerhill arranged her timetable so she could continue teaching for a while more. Mm. She really had a passion, and people listening will know what a good teacher is. And she was a good teacher and she loved it. And then when she got to education, and she just was able to do lots of things. And it's funny, at her funeral, Micheál Martin,
himself briefly a teacher,
he, during the oration, he listed all the things she did. And my daughter turned to me and said, "Wow, I didn't know Granny Mary had done so much." Yeah. And Miriam Lord had a piece the next day saying, you know, a woman of substance, and she went through it. And I think, you know, education is where she loved it, and because she knew it, and she loved being out there meeting people, meeting teachers, meeting schools. That was, I think, her favourite. Mm.
I wondered, was there conflict though, you know, because the teachers' unions, in recent years, maybe there isn't a welcome on the mat for ministers all the time. But back
There wasn't a welcome in the mat back in 87, 89. I always remember, it would have been about 1988, there was a public march past our house. And now we live in a, Mum and Dad built a bungalow in Athlone in 1960 on a road on the outskirts of town. And literally hundreds of people walking out protesting against the education cuts. And I always remember myself and our dog at the time looking out the window going, "This is incredible." Oh no, it was a time of, but at least she understood the landscape she was in some great detail.
And she didn't go to the front gate and look at those former students of hers and roar, "How quickly you forget."
No. Although the local shopkeeper, I remember telling me, he said he had a bumper day that day, you know. So
now, in terms of her leaving politics, you know, that own law, I think it was Enoch Powell who said all political careers end in failure.
Yeah.
How did she feel about the leaving of politics?
Well, it would have been very easy for her in 2011. She was 74 at the time. It would have been very easy for her, as others did, to say, "I've done my piece, I'll leave now." But she was having none of that. And I think what drove her primarily was loyalty to Fianna Fáil, but loyalty to her nephew, Brian, as we called him, Brian Jr. He was seriously ill. He was still putting his name on the ballot paper, and there was no way she was going to let him go on his own.
Yeah. Okay. And of course, he valiantly soldiered on against all the odds. I mean, the European,
and was the only
odds,
Fianna Fáil TD to get re-elected in Dublin that. But, you know, Mum was not going to let him go on the battlefield at all.
Yeah. Now, in her retirement, as you say, she embraced life with gusto. And she was, we have to mention, she was on our book club for several years.
Loved
and she
it.
was She was wonderful. And people, when she wasn't available or couldn't make it for any reason, people would want to know where is she, because they particularly enjoyed her contribution. She was an inveterate reader.
Like when you walked into our home in Athlone, in the living room, there's a big chair, and my abiding memory will be of about three stacks of books, maybe 20 books high. And there were bookmarks in a lot of them. She might have been reading two or three at one time, but she loved reading, and she loved writing, the physical act of writing. She wasn't one for computers, but when she did her first book, she wrote it out in longhand. And, she loved it. She was a former English teacher, but reading, like, the best thing she could get for Christmas was a stack of books, you know.
And she was a great commentator on those books, and very analytical, but also quite generous to the authors. She kind of understood what it is to write much work goes into it.
Exactly. And but she loved it, and she loved people who loved books. She loved talking about books and books she had read, and poetry as well. Like in her declining year or so, I'd read poetry out to her, and she loved, you know, oldish poetry, Kavanagh, Yeats, stuff like that. She'd say, read me Yeats or read me Kavanagh or whatever, you know.
It's arguable that after she retired from politics, or was retired from politics, that she became, in a sense, more of a celebrity than she ever had been as a politician. Well, because she embraced everything she was asked to do.
Yes, and I think it's funny, when she wrote her first book, Just Mary, kind of opened up a new world for her. She was like, I'd ring her on a day and she'd say, oh, I'm down in Thurles signing books, or I'm addressing some book club in Monaghan, or as I say, she did Electric Picnic then. So it kind of, she loved people, and she loved meeting people and been out and about with people. And writing the book, and then the second book, Stories of My Life, it just gave her opportunities to meet people. And the number of people I'd met over the years said, oh, I met your mother here or there or somewhere. Like, genuinely, half the population seemed to have met her at some point, somewhere.
Yeah, and I suspect if they had had Dancing with the Stars at the time of her retirement, she would have been one of those.
Possibly.
Who would have embraced it. And she became known, as I said, almost the mammy of the nation. What was it about her? Because irrespective of party, I think there was great affection for her.
Yeah, she was very open, and I suppose I know a lot of politicians over the years, and when a microphone is put in front of them or a camera, their persona changes a little. Her persona didn't change. What you saw was what you got, and whether the camera was on or off, she was the same. So I think her willingness, and again, if I think back, you know, she was talking about things like fertility and domestic violence and divorce long before they were fashionable in rural Ireland. And I think people, and again, you know, when I was a kid, on a Saturday, the clinic would be in our house, and you'd be opening the door, letting people in, and, you know, sorting out whatever they needed done for them. But I suppose a bit mum was, and I was as a kid, exposed to real life and the things that happened to people. And she was always happy to talk. Like, she talked a lot about postnatal depression she had when I was born. And I think that gave people then permission to talk about it.
Yeah.
And in many ways, you know, a lot of the things she did made it easier for the next person to do.
Well, she was a great woman, I have to say. I remember her with absolute fondness, total fondness and admiration. She lit up the studio when she came in here to do our book club. I'm looking forward to seeing the programme, Clochlacharn, on the 28th of December.
On RT1.
On RT1. Yeah. And Fergal, thank you very much joining us this morning to share your recollections of the Mammy of the Nation.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.